It's time for our regular chat each week here on a Thursday with the voice of the Jayhawks, Brian Haney, brought to you by Anderson Insurance Agency. They do farm, home, auto, life, and crop insurance. Stop by and see Matt and Jamie at 118 North Mill and Beloit, or call them at 738-5701. Going a little bit earlier today just to work things out, and schedules adjust. We adjust with those. Brian has adjusted to our schedule many times before. And Brian, I hear everything is shut down in Lawrence. Nothing can happen today without your approval. Is that true?
I don't know about that last part, but okay. Otherwise, you're right. Everything is shut down. We've had classes were canceled at USD 497 last night. They canceled the Bill Self press conference earlier today. But the team will be practicing this afternoon at 1 because we've got the Dillon Sunflower Show now coming up on Saturday at 11. So the schedule moves on. The team marches on, and hopefully we can get these guys to 4-1 and
All right, so let's go back to the Tuesday game against Iowa State, and KU outlast the Cyclones 83-78. Devontae Graham didn't have a great shooting night, although he hit some key jumpers late in the ball game. But Svi and Malik Newman really saved the day, and that's I think I saw a title of one of the articles. If you watch the Seinfeld episodes, you get the kind of the joke, and that is, hello, Newman. Malik Newman breaking out. Now, is this one of those situations where he's kind of seen the light and you expect more good play out of him, or is it possible that this just a one-night thing?
Well, I think that this is close to what they expected all along from Malik. Not 27 a night, but if you remember some of these reports you and I did a year ago, when we would hint at how good he was looking in practice, and even what we talked about in September and October in the preseason, or heck, you know, even before that out in Italy, it was Bill Self's expectation all along that Malik would be one of the top two scorers on this team. And sometimes you kind of got the hint that maybe he'd be the guy. You know, I told you in my predictions back in October in the preseason around Big 12 Media Day that Devontae would be the team leading scorer and Malik would be number two, and they'd probably be 18 and 16 respectively. And then you'd have Lucero and Svi in that 15-14 range. Well, for the first month or so, man, was I looking silly, because it was Lucero and Svi that were leading the way. Devontae has restored the balance as we thought it would be with him at the top, but you know, Malik, we all along felt like would be that Robin to Devontae's Batman. And, you know, there was a swoon in there where he had several games where he just kind of disappeared. There was a time early in the season when the coaches were getting on him for not going at 100% speed. And it wasn't that he was dogging it. They just felt like he played sometimes. He kind of settled into a 3/4 speed type mode. And they thought there was more in the tank for him to bring. To me, as impressive as the 27 points were the 8 rebounds, because if you watch the game and you saw how he got him, he was jumping over dudes that are 6 inches taller than him. He was a foot and a half above the rim, plucking that ball out of the sky before anybody could get in position to get it. That's what Bill Self's been begging for, you know, for the last 6 weeks and really over the last couple, when we were getting outboarded by 15 by Tech and by 14 by TCU, the top two rebounding teams in the conference, by the way. And even though Kansas lost the battle on the boards the other night against an ISU team that still has more bigs than KU, to see Vic and Newman both attack the rim aggressively in terms of rebounding, getting up high to pull down those boards at 6'4 and 6'5, but playing to their athleticism, that was a sight for sore eyes. That's exactly what Bill Self wanted to see. And so you asked the question, is it a sign of things to come out of the league? I think the energy level is. I think, you know, if the shots are falling from three, his explosive first step is even more dynamic, because you got to come all the way out to guard him, and then he can really break you down off the dribble. You know, maybe as good as anybody this side of Lucero Vick on the team in terms of a slasher driver. Devontae can get there, but Devontae hasn't been as good of a finisher once he gets there, and we saw that the other night. And certainly nobody on this team is like Frank when it comes to dribble penetration and finishing. But I think he could be a 16, 17-point-a-game type guy if he continues to be that assertive. And we all know that many basketball players, and Wade Gershner back in the day was the same way, if shots are going in on one end, your defensive intensity is usually ramped up on the other.
Absolutely.
And I think it just makes him a more complete player on both sides if he's eating on the offensive end, so to speak, because then he's really getting after it defensively. And how cool was it to see him in a late-game moment get that huge rejection of Jackson and rip and run to the hoop on the other side? That was a microcosm of his best moment as a Jayhawk on both ends, and that best game as a Jayhawk. throughout his KU career thus far. So let's hope it is indeed a sign of things to come.
An important win for KU, holding serve there at home against Iowa State on Tuesday, 83-78. And based on the way the team is constructed now, we'll talk more about where things stand with two players they hope to have eligible here pretty soon. But based on how it's constructed right now, this doesn't seem like a Kansas team that's going to blow anybody out. It's going to, even at home, I think KU fans are spoiled that we're going to win by 20 at home. And of course, the Big 12's gotten better from top to bottom. But this was a good example, wasn't it, that, hey, Iowa State might be winless in the Big 12, but the three-point shot's a great equalizer. And I think the only way Kansas blows anybody out right now, based on how they're constructed, is if they hit, 20 threes. Because teams are going to hit threes against them. We know they're not a great defensive team, and you can go hot and cold when you shoot the three yourselves. Would that be a fair assessment that if KU is going to be winning the Big 12 as they're constructed right now, that basically every game's going to be a grinded out thing, and we shouldn't expect the blowouts that we've seen in the past?
Yeah, I think that's fair. I think at some point maybe there's one game that they win at home by 16-18 once they have another big or two in the mix, but otherwise, you said it. I mean, look at Iowa State and their ability to shoot the three. Their three guards will make them capable of beating anybody. I don't care what the record says. Nick Wadabab's the only guy in America that's averaging 12-7-7 right now. Wigginton, were it not for Trey Young, would be the highest-scoring freshman in the conference. And I think he's a future superstar at the collegiate level, watching what I saw the other night. By superstar, I mean a first-team All-Big 12 caliber guy, eventually. Not this year, obviously, but when he's an upperclassman. And, it's a club that clearly, they lost 78 of the 92 points that they scored now in Fieldhouse a year ago when you lose Burton and Morris and Long and Thomas and all that. But when you bring back what they did, and then Donovan Jackson kind of takes that next step as the go-to scorer now, they're going to beat some teams. Mark my words, assuming that KU doesn't get bit by them in Ames, which they absolutely could, I think Iowa State will wind up helping Kansas because they're going to beat one of the three teams that KU's competing with for this title, either in Ames or on that team's home floor. They will have a say in this league race by being a club that upset the team. And Iowa State's not alone there. I think K-State, as we saw last night, even though they were playing without Stokes, look at those guys with three juniors that have been playing together their entire career. Barry Brown can go off on any given night. Dean Wade's a potential stud when he's hitting. I mean, that's a team that's going to beat some good clubs too. And so, to me, it's fascinating. We talk a lot about the top three or four teams toward the top of the standings, but the bottom three have firepower capable of beating any of the top three on any given night. And usually you'd say that if it was a road game for the favorite, right? Mm-hmm. I say it this year, regardless of venue. And so I think when the lineup card comes out each week and you're looking at who the five games are on Tuesday or Wednesday, it doesn't matter where it's being played. Anybody is vulnerable on any given night. Baylor had a great shot to beat West Virginia in Morgantown the other night, case in point. And obviously Iowa State had a great shot to beat Kansas in Allen Fieldhouse. So, as we start the scoreboard watch with 14 games to go, I really believe Iowa State, Oklahoma State, and Kansas State will all help Kansas in their quest, for 14 straight in the end, because they're all going to beat somebody. You just hope that somebody isn't you.
Brian Haney, the voice of the Jayhawks, brought to you by Anderson Insurance Agency. They do farm, home, auto, life, and crop insurance. Stop by, see Matt and Jamie, 118 North Mill and Boyd, or give them a call at 738-5701. Okay, I ask you this every single week. Bill Self gets asked about it probably every single half hour or hour, and that is, what's the latest or what do we know? Anything new on Billy Preston and Sylvia DeSosa?
I was going to give you a smart alecky answer about, Billy's now liking his eggs scrambled and Silvio prefers them.
Silvio's grown an inch and put on 10 pounds.
right, yeah. He says, is there anything new? Well, yeah. On the case, though, we're going to have a Big 12 conference call at 10 this morning. Maybe Self will be asked about it there. I don't know. His press conference that was scheduled for noon today is canceled because everything on campus is getting shut down with the ice storm we're having right now. And so I think he probably would have provided some type of update just based on everything that was anticipated this week and the fact that this was a big formal media setting planned today. And so now I don't know. If they get clearance, obviously they're not going to hold back on that. They're going to announce it right away. This isn't like a football play your cards close to your vest type thing, and we're not going to let the opposition know until the very last minute because, hey, you know, Silvio's the more likely one that we're going to hear on quicker than the other, I would think. And, you know, there's not any collegiate film on Silvio, so it doesn't behoove them to get an answer on Tuesday and then keep it under wraps until late Friday night. As soon as they know, I would imagine the university would put out an email press release.
Yeah.
And we've not seen that yet. I know the ball is rolling and there has been a lot of activity in recent days, as Bill Self said there would be. And he really felt like we might hear something on Monday. And obviously, if you listen to it, you know, on our proud affiliate here in Beloit on Monday night, we didn't talk about it at Hawk Talk at all. And that wasn't because there was bad news or anything. It was because there was no update. And I think that, you know, Coach Self's gotten to a point where if he gives the update of no update every single hour on the hour, it just kind of belabors and stretches out the point to the point of exhaustion amongst the fans. And everybody's just clicking the refresh button on their Twitter feed, and they're going on the message boards just begging for some kind of update, concocting all kinds of conspiracy theories as to why it's taken so long. And I think at this point, you know, Coach Self would prefer to just wait until they have a decision and then talk about it. But he remains hopeful on both fronts, I know. And the Silvio thing, you know, they have no reason to believe there's anything that would question his amateur status. But it's like we talked about a week ago, when you're dealing with a kid from Angola, 9 hours away in terms of time zone, it's hard to get all the records and everything and get every potential loop, you know, buttoned down and sewed up shut, because you know, there were some games he played in the program there that were basketball showcases that had professionals playing in them, which money's a lot of a little bit in terms of, okay, well, not Silvio collected any money, but who's paying for travel for the team for that? And just it makes you have to dive into more stuff that you'd have to typical American recruit.
Yeah, I know. So, it sounds like a broken record, doesn't it?
It really does. I hate to be that guy, but we're just going off what we're being told. And right now, we're not being told much.
Yeah, I hear you. Okay, real quick, thoughts on K-State. That's the opponent coming up Saturday in Lawrence. Last year, it went to overtime. Certainly, K-State fans remember the walk by Svee there at the end of regulation that won the game, and it really probably should have gone to overtime. K-State lost Kamau Stokes with a foot injury. Last night, they score 86 without him. Barry Brown, a career-high 38. Cartier Jara, or Jada, whatever way you want to pronounce it, trust me, with K-State people I've talked with in the media, they can't agree on how to pronounce his last name, and the TV guys last night completely had a different pronunciation for his name, so you can work on that before Saturday. But they still have talent, and then Dean Wade is a tough matchup, although there's times he looks great, and then there's times where he kind of disappears and not as aggressive consistently, and last night I think he only had 5 shots. Your thoughts on the Wildcats coming to town on Saturday?
Yeah, he could be a little Jekyll and Hyde sometimes. Yeah. I really like his upside when he's hitting. I've seen him at his best and at his worst just in the last 3 years calling games at both KU and Texas Tech. But I think that I have so much respect for this program because, you know, with or without Stokes, you've got guys that have stayed together and played together for a long time now. And I think, you know, it's just a product of how good the league is that they're immediately funneled into the bottom tier conversation. In a normal year, this would be a, you know, middle of the pack, fifth, sixth, or seventh type team. Maybe they can still be seventh. Who knows? You know, the news is devastating out of Texas about Andrew Jones, and yet they still go out and beat TCU last night. But my point is, you know, they could still climb higher than what folks give them credit for. Heck, they've already got two wins in the league, so maybe they will. The way they put it on Iowa State names to start up the league schedule, I think, was head-turning. So I have a ton of respect for them, and I think all you need to know about KU's focus for Saturday, you just said when you mentioned how it should have gone to overtime a year ago, and that was with Frank Mason and with Josh Jackson.
Yeah.
And K-State's largely the same team. So I tell you what, man, I think Kansas certainly realizes what a fight they're in for, and I'm so thankful that K-State won last night without Stokes, because I think that definitely sharpened Kansas' focus even more, and it gives Bill Self something to point to about just how good the rest of these guys are. And so I think it's going to be a heck of a game. You know, there have been games like this before where Kansas is especially dialed in and you're expecting more of a fight, the Jayhawks put the hammer down. But as we just talked about, it's going to be difficult to see blowout-type games in the fog. So who knows? But I don't think there will be any look-ahead factor to West Virginia on Monday because of how well K-State has competed in league play and because of the very distinct memory at the forefront of KU's mind of just how close it was a year ago. And were it not for four steps and 12 rushing yards, as Tyler Shelton put it on Twitter, you know, speed doesn't hit that game winner, and who knows what happens in overtime. So I can't wait to tip it off in the Dillon Sunflower Showdown, and looking forward to it at 11 o'clock on Saturday.
Yep, folks can hear that on our sister station, home for the Jayhawks here in north central Kansas, E96.3, as Brian said, tip-off at 11 a.m. at the Fog. All right, time for the off-the-wall question. My birthday was yesterday, Brian, so it's a birthday-related question for you. What birthday was the best you've ever had? And what I mean by that is, at what age was it? Your 16th birthday, your 12th, your 18th, your 21st, your 23rd? What was the best birthday you've ever had?
Wow, great question. And you know, it's funny about that. Happy birthday to you, belated.
Thank you.
I got a Hotmail notification last night at midnight that said your birthday was today, the 11th.
Oh, well, I probably put that in wrong on purpose.
Well, I don't get in on Facebook that much, and so I didn't see that yesterday. It should have been my cue. But it's funny because I don't have a whole lot of birthday notifications in my Hotmail account, but I was checking my email late at night, and when it went to midnight, it said, today is Wade Gerstner's birthday. Really? But it was off. So, dang you, Hotmail. Best birthday ever. Man, that's a great question. You know, my birthday 2 years ago, when I was real close to coming up here for my job interview for the Voice of the Jayhawks, and in the midst of a NCAA title push for Texas Tech baseball, was pretty exciting just because there was a lot of blessing going on in my life at the time and a lot of uncertainty, but at the same time, just immense blessing and the chance to possibly be coming home had me talking to family and friends a lot more at that juncture and hearing from a lot of people as we were counting down the days to find out. So maybe that birthday number 35, I guess it was, two summers ago. And obviously I didn't hear officially about the job for two more weeks after that, but it was all kind of heading down the stretch at that point. There was just a lot of anticipation and a lot of counting your blessings going on at that point. And I think I got to call the win on that same day for Texas Tech in the NCAA tournament. So I would say that's probably my best as an adult. But you know what? If we really dial back the clock to childhood days, I'm sure I could think of certain gifts I got or birthday parties we had at the putt-putt, the Sports Center putt-putt in the capital city of Topeka.
Sure.
With the big T-Rex where you had to putt between his legs. And we had all kinds of crazy parties out there. So I would probably say something like that for my childhood. That's a good question, man. What did you get yesterday, and what was the highlight? Just spending time with the family?
Yeah, probably so. We went out to dinner last night, and there was a friend of mine. His daughter, it was her fifth birthday, and we both ended up being at the same restaurant. And so she got a nice deal of ice cream, and I said, hey, my turn. It's my birthday, too. And I got something else. It wasn't ice cream. It was a little shot glass with liquid in it. So they brought there that over, and I haven't had something like that for a while. And let's just say it tasted a little bit different than I remembered. but it was fun. It was the family. We went out, had a good meal, and had a few laughs. The kids are being silly like always, and that was good enough for me.
How about that? Happy birthday, buddy.
Thanks, man. I appreciate
it. A great year for you. Your best one yet.
Well, that would be great. Hey, I hope it's a great day coming up on Saturday. Should be a good ball game. The Sunflower Showdown, KU, K-State. Have a terrific call, Brian, and check on Hotmail and file your complaint since they missed my birthday by a day. And we will talk to you again next week, buddy.
You got it, man. Take care.
Take care.
I'm really good for sticking with Hotmail.
Yeah, you got to switch to Gmail, man. Come on.
See ya.
Brian Hayden, the voice of the Jayhawks. Yeah, Hotmail is so 1999, right? No, I actually used to have a Hotmail account, and I don't have one anymore. Actually, I probably have that account. I don't use it anymore. I'm a Gmail guy, although some people have Yahoo or whatever it might be. So thanks again to Brian Haney, the voice of Jayhawks, with us, brought to you every week here on the Sports Ticket by Anderson Insurance Agency, the farm, home, auto, life, and crop insurance. Stop by and see Matt and Jamie at 118 North Millen Beloit, or call them at 738-